Corinthians in chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 12. And we'll be looking here, just continuing on in our study. And we went through verse number 11 so far. We'll begin just right in verse number 12. Want to just be mindful as we're looking. Paul is talking to the church of Corinth about spiritual gifts. That's the subject to which he's approaching them and addressing with them. And there was a misuse of spiritual gifts among the church that was at Corinth, and their understanding of spiritual gifts was out of place, and it would appear just in my observation of the chapter 12, 13, and 14 that there were people that were doing things that were out of bounds for their spiritual gifts, especially when you get over to chapter number 14, that there was a misuse and a mishandling of the gifts that God had given, and it would be that there would be those that are using these gifts that in a way that is out of line and out of bounds for what the Lord had intended them to be, and even a blaming of the Lord on the fact that they were being used. And we can all be involved in things and engaged in things, and we can blame God on them. And throughout the Word of God, it's very easy to see that many times that takes place, that we want to blame God. The children of Israel wanted to blame God. This is all God's fault. God's responsible. And the reality is this, that they were just out of line. The reason that that would be the case in the church of Corinth is easy for us to understand, is because they were carnal. They were not spiritual. And if we're going to have a proper use of spiritual gifts, it's going to come with us yielding ourselves unto spirituality, as opposed to me being yielded to my flesh, as opposed to me being yielded to my carnal nature. I am going to be given unto the Spirit of God. I'm going to have to, at some point, take responsibility of that, and I'm going to have to, from time to time, I'm going to have to choose that I'm not going to yield to my flesh. And listen to me, we all have to make those decisions. There comes a point in someone's life where they say, I'm no longer going to do this because I know it would be contrary to the leading of the Spirit of God. I am going to do this because I know it would be in obedience to the Spirit of God. And I've got to make that conscious choice. I can't just throw my hands up in the air and listen. Many people just do this. I can't get over this. I can't beat this. I can't be spiritual. And so I'll just choose to be a fake. The scriptures, as Christ approached the scribes and Pharisees, had a complete facade and a fake. There were whited sepulchers in their religion. God has not called us to be fakes. It is not that we cannot be obedient to the Spirit of God. It is not that it is impossible for us to be spiritual. It is that we choose, though at times, to not be spiritual. And if we're choosing to not be spiritual, there's only one alternative. We're not hanging out in the middle somewhere. We are either spiritual or we are carnal. There's no other way around it. And if we're going to be carnal, we cannot be spiritual. And if we're going to be spiritual, we're no longer going to be carnal. That's the place where the church at Corinth was. And Paul's desire for them is, listen, let's just admit where we're carnal. Right? Let's admit where we're doing it wrong, and let's start doing it right. And we can all say, that, man, preacher, that's easier said than done. That's easier said than done. It is so much easier for us sometimes to get to go into our flesh, because in our flesh we can, in areas, just find that instant gratification. Right? In our flesh, sometimes it appears that things get done quicker and things get done in a greater way, and the kids always listen better. When I yell and scream and rant like a lunatic, they all jump to and get the job done. Right? But at the same time, that's a very carnal response. Right? At the same time, while I might get that instant gratification, I might completely be in contradiction to the Word of God. That's a bad place to be, and it's a place of carnality as opposed to a place of spirituality. So that first 11 verses, just if we can put it in a nutshell, Paul's trying to help us understand that he's given us the same God and the same Savior and the same Spirit. They're all God is not in contradiction to himself. Right? The Godhead is not confused about what he is trying to do. And God has given unto you the gifts that you need, right, to be a blessing to your church body. We're going to look at that tonight. God's divided unto every individual here. If you're saved, He's imparted unto you spiritual gifts. I understand this, that I have natural abilities. Each and every one of us have natural abilities. There's not a person in this room saying, I don't have very many natural abilities. I don't care what they are. You do have some natural abilities. And so my natural abilities are not in contradiction to the gifts of the Spirit either. God's going to give me, He's going to impart to me gifts that are going to be in harmony with the natural abilities that He's given me and that He has for me. They're going to work together, and He's imparted unto you things of the Spirit to help you walk in a spiritual manner as opposed to a carnal manner. And we need to be mindful so often that we don't be guilty of just yielding unto our natural ability. And this is the danger, that we just be yielded to our natural ability as opposed to the Spirit of God and the directing of the Spirit of God. I can accomplish things in my flesh, and so can you. I can. One of the things I just remember, you go when I was in car sales. I mean, they had what they call the walk around in car sales, and man, I wasn't good at it because I hated forcing people to make decisions that I wanted them to make, as opposed to ones that were best for them. And you'd have big sales at the car. I worked 9 months, the darkest days of my life, and I just remember just cringing, like I don't want to even sell this person this car. I don't want to run, like, people come, I got bad credit, can you help me? I knew when I took their credit, their social security number, they were going to run it through every credit company they possibly could to find some kind of finance for this poor sap, and it was going to hurt them worse, right? And listen, I hated doing that, but the thing is, they were trying to, listen, force something on somebody or force their way into something. God's not going to force His way into your life. He's not. The Spirit of God is not going to force Himself upon you. But God has imparted gifts unto you, and if you'll be yielded to the Spirit of God as opposed to your carnal flesh, I'm telling you, God has placed you here in this body for the purpose of using the natural gifts that He's given you, led by the Spirit of God that He's placed inside of you to accomplish His glory and His will in your life, in this body, and in this community. He absolutely has done that. So those are the first 11 verses. That's kind of just nutshell right there, right? Look at verse number 12 with me. Verse number 12 says, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." We could say it like this. This is the body of Christ. Now, some people have the idea, say, "Well, yeah, well, all the saved are part of the body of Christ," and I'm not going to get into that. We've covered that before. There is a difference between the family of God and the church. Paul is addressing a local church right here, and he is talking about this local church as if they are the body of Christ. How do you know that? Look at verse number 27. We're not going to read down this far tonight, but in verse number 27 it says, "Now ye," speaking to this group of believers in Corinth, "are the body of Christ and members in particular." The reality is, either they were the only body of Christ that ever existed, or they are the local body of Christ that existed in this particular location. And that's the truth of the matter, that they were a body of Christ. They were a body of believers brought together by God unto that body and had been placed there, we're going to read here in just a minute, by God into that body. Verse number 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not, not the hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not of the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were the eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where the smelling? But now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. God's established one body. As we consider the thoughts that Paul is asking us to consider here, we understand, we come to, and it is a verse I know that many will take and they'll use verse number 13 as an excuse for the idea. Many in the Pentecostal movement will help us to say, well, this is talking about spirit baptism, and we have to have a spiritual baptism and a spiritual moving. But understand, God's talking about a church body. He is talking about spiritual gifts, but he's talking about a church body that has come together and that has been brought together. When we consider a church body, there are things that join us together. All right, we just don't. Not everybody just walks in here and is just say, "Hey, I'm part of this body," and then automatically they're part of the body. Understand, there's certain aspects that make someone part of an individual body. Number one, that they're saved. They need to be saved. So if this is spiritual baptism, and spiritual baptism takes place at salvation, and we're already part of a body, then we've got something out of whack. But the other thing that makes us part of a body is that we have been baptized. And it is the Spirit of God that brings us together. We have all been baptized. If you go to Ephesians in chapter 4, verse number 1 through 6, it talks about there's one Lord, and one faith, and one God. And it says right there, and one baptism. There's only one. There's not multiple baptisms. And we, when I got saved, I received everything of the Spirit of God that God intended for a believer to have. As I yield myself to the Spirit of God, I get to see the fruit of that greater. And I get to experience the gifts of that salvation in a greater way. But it's not like at some point in time, I got more of the Spirit than I had before I did. No, I got all of God in me. I got the fullness of the Godhead in me. The reality is some people don't experience the fullness of the Godhead in them. And it has to do with their obedience to God and to His leading in their life is why they would not. But for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body. It is the Spirit of God that draws men. It's the Spirit of God that forms the body. It is God who places them in the body. We understand to be a part of a body, one must be saved and baptized. There's a salvation, and then there's baptism that takes place. And God is trying to bring a body together, and there's work to be done. The Christian life is a life of work. God didn't call us to be lazy socialists. Amen. He called us to work. He called us to be busy. He called us to be active and to get out with the gospel and to get out doing the work of God. Socialism doesn't work with Christianity. It doesn't. I'm telling you, they're opposed to one another. They don't go together because socialism is going to require work. God's idea of being one and being in unity, I'm telling you, is not the modern day idea of communism or socialism. Not at all. Not at all. Men need to get out and work, and men need to get out and labor. And guess what? God is bringing together a body that men might get out and do the work that He's called us to do. He's given this church a commission. He's given us a commission. He's given us some instruction. And I want to say this. We'd understand that Christ is the head. If we go over to Colossians in chapter number one, Colossians in chapter number one, we understand this in verse number 18. Colossians 1, it says this, and he is the head of the body. And he clarifies, well, what's the body? The church. He's the head of the church. He's the head of the body. And he has work for us to do. He has a mind for us. He's given us instruction. He's given us direction. And we are to follow the head. And when the head wants to go somewhere and the body doesn't go, that's going to be a very frustrating life. In fact, we would very much say someone is, if their head is going one way and their body is not responding, there are some great problems within that body. There's a paralyzation that's taking place. And I know I've mentioned it before, but I think of my wife's Uncle Jim as he was getting older and Alzheimer's was taking over his body and different things. And I remember standing there like helping him from his chair to the dining room table. And he said, just give me a minute. I'm telling my foot to move, but it isn't listening yet. I'm telling you, there's a great problem. And in the house of God, if we're not listening to the Spirit of God and we're not being directed by the Spirit of God, I'm talking about me and of you, then we are going to paralyze the work that God intends for us to be a part of. And we understand the body, he says this, the body is not one member, but many. It's not one member, but many. The parts that we have, all right, in our body. And this is the illustration that God is giving for us to understand how a church is to function. A church is to function. You say, well, we're to be at unity and we're to be one and we're to be about the Great Commission. Okay, that's a reality. But the body is of many members. It's not just of one member. He's going to go on in verse number 15. Say, we'll get there in a minute. We're not all eyes. We're not all ears. We're all right. But we're many members. My eyes serve a different function than my ears. But they're both needed. Right? My nose serves a different function than my eye. My legs serve a different function than my arms. We understand there's many members. And we need to be mindful of that. That God sets members in the body as He sees fit. As He is gifted and He's directed. The reality is that the eye cannot do everything the ear does. Nor was it designed of God to do the things the ear does. I mean, almost by just the power and the authority of God, the eye and the ear are different. Almost like that. We understand God has designed you and has gifted you. And what God needs you to do is to understand where He has gifted you and then to put those gifts at work inside of the body. To understand your role inside of the body. Say, I just don't know what my role is. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But when we consider the gifts that God has given, we consider that the body is many members. Verse number 15, 16, and 17. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. God didn't gift me in the way that He gifted someone else. And so therefore, I don't have a role to fulfill. Wrong. And verse number 15, 16 and 17, they're saying, no. God did gift you to fill a role. The problem is we get covetous of other people's roles. No. We get covetous of what God's, man, God lets them do that. God lets them do that. And man, I'm just the pinky on the hand. Whatever. But understand, God's given you a role to fulfill. Your need is to understand the role that God has given you, the things that God has gifted you in, and to fulfill that role. We say this when it comes to work. Many hands make light work. Right? Meaning this, that if everybody just got involved and did part, then the labor would be diminished greatly. It would be. When you're working with young kids, it can be frustrating that it almost seems like it's more work to get them working, right, than it is just to do the job yourself. Why? Because they're not engaging themselves in the work that's at hand. When the body is covetous of other parts and we say, well, I'm not that, so I just don't have any role to play. I'm telling you, if you're saved and you're baptized and you're a part of a body, you're part of a body, you have a role to play. And when you and I don't fulfill the roles that God has called us to play, then listen to me. We are causing there to be a body that is dysfunctional. Dysfunction doesn't happen within a body that has all of its parts working together in unity and in correlation with each other to accomplish a greater good. The problems happen when part of my body just decides it's not going to work anymore. That's when problems arise. When part of the body says, well, I'm not fulfilling this function, so I don't have a function to fulfill. No. You are part of a body, As a part of a body, you have a function that God has designed you specifically, distinctly to fulfill. He's departed to gifts, verse number 11, to every man severally as he will. God has designed something for you to fulfill as a role. And many times we miss the work of God, the plan of God in what God is wanting to do. When a body part is sick, and body parts do get sick, they do. We as men want to ignore it, right? But ignoring a sickness that we have doesn't generally get us better. Just like, I'm not sick, I'll get over it, you know, and then we die, right? You know, no, we need to address it. If we're sick, stay home, eat soup and drink tea, you know, and get better. Body parts that aren't functioning properly, they can be sick, they can be diseased, right? That's possible of body parts. We understand this when we're talking about body part. Our body can get sick. We can have a head cold, right? We can have a lung infection. We can have a pneumonia. We can have an ear infection. We can have an eye. I don't remember a couple years ago. I mean, I had a sty on my eye that was just enormous. I was embarrassed to go out in public with it, right? But the reality is that parts of our body do get to the place where they are sickly. And to where they're not functioning the way they should. The older I get, and I'm told it gets worse and worse, that things just don't function the way they did when you were 20, and that's sad. You wish things always stayed the same as when you were 20. But disease can creep into a body. Bodies can be cut and be wounded. And that's a reality. I mean, we probably all could stop and be reminded of scars, stitches. Bodies can be injured. They can be. For whatever reason, I don't know why, but my boys have gotten to the idea that airsoft is so awesome. And they are so excited to shoot airsoft guns at each other. And then look at the welts. That looks like it hurts, but they think it's, man, this is so cool. I just want to shoot them until they get over that, right? But bodies can be injured. Bodies can be damaged. They can. And so, but the reality is this, that when my body has a hurt and my body is damaged, then this is what's going to take place. Other parts of my body, they compensate for it. They do. They compensate for it. When I remember when I was in high school, I tore my rotator cuff. The doctor didn't want to do surgery, but he put me in a sling for 3 months. Three solid months. I had my arm in a sling, and it was just sitting stationary. And I did everything with my left arm, and it was just no fun at all. I know with my ankle, I've had to have my ankle rebuilt, and there are times again I limp and it hurts my left hip. But the body limps because it's compensating for a hurt in another area, right? And as a body, when our parts aren't functioning the way they ought to, or when a part is not fulfilling the role that it's supposed to, the body is going to come to its own rescue. And the answer, if there is a hurt or if there's an injury or is damage, is not that God, man, God's put me in the wrong place. No, God has set you according to verse 19, right? And if they were all one member, where were the body? God has set you. I'm sorry, verse number 18. It says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased him. As it pleased him. The goal is not that, man, I had a hurt or had an injury, I had something happen, and therefore I'm no longer going to fulfill the function. Come on, we would not accept that in our body, right? wouldn't? We'd go to a doctor and we'd get healed up and we get clean. And we do, listen, my ears aren't functioning the way they used to. I need an aid to help them function, right? My eyes aren't functioning the way they used to. I need an aid to help them function. And it is that the body does get older and it is that the body can get damaged. But with your own physical body, friend, we understand this, that if there was a damage or is a hurt or a cut, we're going to bind the wound. We're going to help to heal the hurt. We're going to do what we can so that function, that part functions in a way that is beneficial to the body, not that we're just going to sit around and be hindered for the rest of our life. Many times I think in the churches, some people just said, well, I'm not the hand. I really wasn't fulfilling a functional role. The role I was playing wasn't that important anyway. The things that I was doing, they didn't really matter. But no. They did matter to God because it was God that set you in the place that He set you. And there are hurts that come. And there are injuries that come. And there are times in our lives that are more difficult and times in a body that are more difficult than others. But it does not change the call of God nor the role that God desires for you to play in a body. The question we should stop and ask is not whether I should be fulfilling a role, not whether I should be working to get myself functioning in the role that God's given me to the proper ability, but to make sure I'm actually fulfilling the right role. That I'm actually, if God set me here and God's gifted me and He has, then I need to make sure that I'm, to the best of my ability, fulfilling the role that God has given me. One fulfills the role when they allow the Spirit of God to be the guide. When I allow the Spirit of God to be my guide, then I am capable of fulfilling the role that God has called me to do. And someone's like, well, how in the world do we do that? It's really not as hard as we want to make it out to be. It's not. Allowing the Spirit of God to be my guide, it begins right here. God's Spirit guides me by His Word. This book was given to us by inspiration of the Spirit of God, and it gives us instruction so that we should be guided. It gives us instruction so that we can know the mind of God and to know the will of God and to know the direction of God. And I'm just telling you, I get encouraged when the Lord speaks to me from His Word. Why? Because He's instructing me. He wants to instruct us by His Word. You and I need to be into the preaching of the Word of God. We need to be reading the Word of God. We need to allow the Word of Christ to again, dwell in us richly. We need to allow the Word of God to be a direction and a guide. We need to seek for its wisdom. We need to seek for it to instruct us because He wants to guide us by His Word. Say, I wonder what God wants. I wonder what the Spirit of God wants for my life. He's going to give you that in His Word. He's going to instruct you. I'm just telling you, I've had the Word of God instruct me as I've read it in my own personal devotions. I've had the Word of God instruct me as I've sought counsel. And someone says, well, you know what? Let's get this biblical principle right here. And this is what the Word of God says. And the Word of God instructs me. I've had the Word of God instruct me as I've sat under the preaching of the Word of God. And by the work of the Spirit of God, God imparts unto me what I know I'm supposed to do. I'm just telling you, there's just certain times in my life, I maybe I'm all alone on this, but I don't believe I am, to where I just absolutely 100% knew what God wanted me to do as the Word of God was being preached. I remember distinctly on a Thursday night at youth camp, walking up to my wife before we moved here, and I walked up to my wife after the message was preached, and he was preaching on the wide gate and the narrow gate. I remember distinctly walking up to my, that was what the preacher was preaching on that night, and it was kind of a weird sermon, and he had a big rope, and he just was leading everybody. He had every teenager in the room. They were walking all along the whole, holding onto a rope, going around in circle, and just trying to help us to understand that where we're guiding people ought to be to the narrow gate, and it was kind of weird, but at the same time, as that message is being preached, I just remember distinctly God just saying, it's time to pack our bags. I'm just telling you, you say, well, God doesn't speak like that. He does to me. Well, I sit under the instruction of the Word of God. As soon as that service was over, I went to my wife and said, I know what God's going to do, but God's we're moving. I remember that distinctly. And the reality is this, the next day, Friday, Bob Baker gives me a call. That's a scary call even today. I understand that, but but listen to me. God wants to instruct you by His Word. And understanding the where, man, where has God placed me and what's God want me to do? Listen, it's not outside of His Word. He also instructs, listen, I believe the Spirit of God is a spirit of peace and comfort. And He instructs us by that. It's in the Word of God and the instruction of the Word of God. But there's sometimes we can come to decisions like, I don't know what God wants. I don't know where God's leading or what God's trying to do. But it's the Spirit of God that brings that gives us peace and comfort. That's what God designed His Spirit. He told His disciples, I'm going to send a comforter unto you. And there's sometimes I just don't have peace in making a decision. And there's sometimes I just get to a decision. I'm like, man, I don't know. I was talking to Brother Roby this morning. He said, I just hate when somebody puts me in a corner to make a decision and I don't feel like I've heard from God yet. He said, the answer is just always no. Well, what are we waiting on for God? I mean, for God to shine a light down of heaven and this is the exact perfect will. Take a left step and take two right steps. And no, we're seeking the peace and the comfort of God. The peace and comfort of God is not going to be contrary to His Word, but there's just times when I have peace about things, and there's times when I don't have peace about things, and so many times I'm so thankful for a mother, a father who in their life sought to be led of the Spirit of God. They sought to be led of the Spirit of God. And they in their life that would just seek to okay, we're going to make this decision. Well, how do we know it's the right decision? Well, do you have peace? And if you know Christ and you're seeking after Christ, there's going to be peace. There's not going to be strife and contention. I'm telling you, if there's strife and contention, then we've got something wrong. If there's a uneasiness about the decision we're making, I'm telling you, there's something wrong there, and you ought not to ignore that if you're a child of God. And if you do ignore that, then friend, listen to me, that's carnal. And if you do ignore the Word of God, that's carnal. And God wants us as a member to be spiritual. God's going to lead us by His Word. He's going to lead us by His comfort and peace. If one member decides to be the Holy Spirit for all the other members, then the body's going to have trouble. I mean, I just wrote down some different things that cause a contrary. If one member just says, you know what, I'm the Holy Spirit of God and I get to tell you every little detail and I'm going to look around the church and I know they're doing wrong and they're doing wrong. God didn't call any member to be him. And He didn't call any member to be the leader of the leading of the Spirit in any other individual's life. But He did call you to fulfill a role. Say, well, my role is to make sure everybody else fulfills their role. Wrong. That's wrong. I've got to answer to the Holy Spirit of God, and so do you. I've got to make sure my heart is right with the Holy Spirit of God, and so do you. My job is not to make sure everybody else is doing right, and my job is not to look around the church and go, I don't like the way they're doing what they're doing, I don't like the way they're doing what they're doing, and I'm promising you, if that's your mindset and that's your attitude, what you're doing in doing that is not doing what God is intending for you to do by His Spirit. That's just a reality. If you have decided, man, I'm just going to be the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to criticize everybody and judge everybody and make sure everybody else is doing what I think, and I'm going to tell everybody when they're not doing right, I'm going to let them know. I dare say that you probably, if you're doing that, don't have time to fulfill the Spirit of God, leading of the Spirit of God in your own life. You need to be responsible for you. I can't make anybody show up on visitation. I can't. I believe it's an instruction of the Holy Spirit of the Word of God, and the Spirit of God is behind each and every one of us being witnesses. Without a doubt, I can stand solidly on the Word of God, and I can say this, that if you know Christ as your personal Savior, He desires for you to be His witness. But I can't make you do it. Right? God intends for us to give and to tithe and to be concerned with the needs of others. I can't make you give. I can't make you do things, but if you desire to be obedient to the Spirit of God, you're going to do everything He instructs you to do in His Word. You're going to. And so it's not a matter of me taking over the role of the Spirit of God. If a member decides to let others pull their weight, so I'll just let other people do it. Listen to me. Then the body is crippled. The body's crippled. God's given you a job. God's given you a place. He's made you a member. He designed you for a specific thing. And you say, well, things are changing and times are changing and the body's getting older. We come up with whatever excuse we want. But I'm telling you, the leading of the Spirit of God is still that you would be an active, functioning part of the body. He wants you to be an active, functioning part of the body. And so one might just say, well, I'm not doing what I used to, or I'm not doing the job I want to do, so I'm just not going to fulfill a role. And generally, people have what they call the 80-20 rule about church. It's 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. I'm telling you, that just shouldn't be in the house of God. That there's roles that are being played in my body that are every bit as active as my eyes. But you aren't seeing them right now. There's a heart that's pumping in there. Praise the Lord. You don't see it. I don't even feel it necessarily, but I know what's happening or I wouldn't be standing up here in front of you right now. It wouldn't. There's other organs inside of everybody that maybe they don't have the out front and maybe they aren't seen. But listen, they're fulfilling a vital role to make this body work as it should. There's some he talks about that are uncomely parts. Come on, I'm not like the digestive system. It's kind of gross, but I'm thankful it works properly. And it's a mess when it doesn't. Come on. It's a reality. And God's given each role. Some aren't as glamorous as others. Some aren't as seen as others. But understand, God needs 100% of the members that He has placed in a particular body to pull the weight and to do the work that He needs us to fulfill. If one member decides, I need to do... I need to do everybody's job. Come on, that's what he's talking about. Verse number 15, 16, 17. If the foot say, because I am not of the hand, I'm not of the body. If the eye shall say, because I'm not of the eye, I'm not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? God didn't call us to do everything. God didn't call you to be involved in all the business. God didn't call you to be involved in every ministry. God didn't call you to be involved in every little detail of what's going on. But God has given you a function, and by His word and by His comfort, you need to seek what that role is. And when one says, you know what, I'm telling you, if my hand was always trying to do what another part was designed to do, it is going to be in the way of another part functioning properly. It's going to be in the way. It will cause discomfort to the body functioning properly. Let me give you five things and we'll be done tonight. You need to be part of a body. Every individual, God's desire is that you would be part of a body. It doesn't matter how old or young you are. If you know Him, God desires for you to be a part of the body. And His desire is to set you in a body. Number two, you need to understand you're one of many. Right? I'm not. It's not my job to do everything, and it's not your job to do everything either. I've been given a role, and God's gifted me, and God's given you a role, and He's gifted you, and we are one of many, all functioning together, so that we might be able to go out and do the work that He desires for a church to fulfill. We need to understand we're one of many. Number three, don't be discontent or covetous with others' roles. Don't be discontent. I'm telling you, the role God has given you and the gifts that God has given you are precious. You know why? Because they came from Him. They came from Him. There's going to be a day and a time where we're going to stand before the Lord, and we're probably all going to be shocked at who gets rewards and who doesn't. I'm just telling you, we're probably all going to be shocked. And it might be some of the most unlikely candidates that we say, man, I can't believe they're being more rewarded than them. And I don't know that we're even going to be conscious about that. I, for myself, think I'm probably going to be just in the corner ashamed. But understand, if I fulfill my role, the reward of God is just as great as someone else fulfilling their role. I just need to make sure that I'm being led of the Spirit of God, that I'm being led into the places, into the work that He's called me to do. So don't be discontent or covetous. Don't be. You say, well, I thought we were supposed to covet the best. Yes, I understand. We'll get to that passage of Scripture, but listen to me. I also need to understand that I need to be content with what God's gifted me. The reality is this, that if I'll take and use what God has given me, if we look at the parable of the talents, if I'll take and use the gifts today that God has given me, and I will invest them in a proper manner, that God gives, guess what? More gifts. And of whom much is given, much shall be required. But the reality is, listen, if I'm not going to use what I've been given, then God's not ever going to give me more. I believe this, that God can take us from one role and put us into another role. And sometimes people leave good and bad from a house of God. And there's areas to be picked up. God might change my role, and God might change my position, and God might lead me in a different direction. I understand that. But I ought to look at the things that God's called me to do, and it ought to be enough. It ought to be enough. It's not a matter of I'm trying to climb the ladder of the church. I'm trying to build myself up in the politics of the church. It has no place in the house of God. But what God does want is He desires that I would fulfill the role that He has gifted me to fulfill. At the end of the day, if what God's called me to do is not enough for me, and I say, I need more, I need to have something more, and I need more. Listen, that's what we call covetousness. And that's going to hinder us from being obedient to the Spirit of God. It's not going to help us to be obedient to the Spirit of God. So don't be discontent or covetous with another's role. Number four, allow that God knows how best to use you. God knows how best to use you. He does. He knows exactly how He's designed you. He knows exactly how He's gifted you, and He knows exactly the role that He desires for you to fulfill. God knows how to use you to the best of your ability. If you say, I want to glorify God, then listen, get into His Word and seek His comfort. Then number five, look at verse number 20. It says this, but now are they many members, yet one body. Listen, don't be distracted by other parts. Just simply concentrate, what is my function? What's my role? What has God placed me here to do? I sure hope that my heart doesn't get all impressed by the liver and decide it's going to change functions in the middle of the day. I need my heart to just function as God intended it to function and as God designed it to function. Don't be distracted or don't be discarded by other parts. God's got has a role for you to fulfill. God needs you to fulfill your role. Let's have our heads bowed.